We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Bob Huggins met with the media earlier today. Listen to what he had to say about his team coming up right after this.
Big 12 Now on ESPN Plus brings you more than 400 exclusive live events, select conference championship events, coaches press conferences, and original content. Sign up for Big 12 Now on ESPNplus.com/Big12Now.
Okay, Coach, so we'll start with sort of the same normal one that we start with. Now you're 2 weeks into practice. What have you learned, good and bad?
I don't know. I don't know what I learned that I didn't already know, to be honest with you. We're getting better. I think most years, you know, when you start out, that your ball security is not very good. And so we were throwing it all over the place, and we're getting better at that. I think with Oscar and Derek and Gabe and the other bigs we got, we're going to really be able to rebound the ball.
Okay. Reminder, if you have a question, hit the raise hand feature. We'll go to Michael from WMOV.
Coach, one thing that I know that kind of frustrated you at times last year was a lack of ball movement, and sometimes that was reflected in the assist numbers. You kind of hit on it there. How has the passing been so far, and who needs to step up and really be a floor general this year?
Well, it was dreadful to start out with, but it's gotten better and better, I think, as we've gone along, and we've got Deuce and Jordan handling the ball the majority of the time. So those guys' ball security obviously has gotten better. I think a lot of our turnovers came really from our bigs, and I think it was just going faster than they were capable of going. And it's a fine line. You want them to go like crazy to go rebound it and defend and do those things, and then we got to get them to slow down at the offensive end.
Okay, we'll go to Kevin Kinder.
You may already have partially answered this, but in attacking basket, the off the dribble, talking with a couple of your big men, I know you had them working on that this year and dribbling with a purpose, not just dribbling in place. What kind of things do you do? Are there drills, or do you show them film? You know, how do you emphasize, hey, this is what we want you to do when you're putting the ball on the floor?
Well, my first head coaching job, I was at Walsh College, and I would take recruits in to see Sister Marie Helene. And when you walked in, she would give you a pencil and a piece of paper and tell you to take notes. And as she was giving her spiel on the education department at Walsh University now, we were supposed to sit there and take notes. And so, you know, I mean, I had taken, I don't know how many groups through there. So she, and every time I took, you know, a pencil and a piece of paper, well, the one time I just said, Sister, I've already heard it before. And she said, you know what I've learned? I said, what's that? She said, you know, if you write it down, if you talk about it, if you use as many senses as you can possibly use, your ability to retain things is so much better. And I've never forgotten that. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to use as many senses as we possibly can with these guys so that they can retain what we're trying to teach them.
Next, we'll go to Cody Nesper.
Hey, Coach. I remember you saying that you were disappointed that you had to scrap the old non-conference schedule. And with the games that were announced this week, I was just wondering if you're happy with the new non-conference schedule or just what you think about it.
I'm never happy. You know that. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, Josh did a great job of really saving the non-conference schedule for us. You know, adding Richmond, I think, was really good for us. They're a heck of a team. They're a team that a lot of people are picking to be a Sweet 16 team in the NCAA tournament. So I think adding them to our non-conference schedule really beefs it up. And then, of course, you know, having Florida and somebody from the Big East, I think, helps as well. But no, I mean, everybody's scrambling. You're scrambling. And I think now with what happened with the MTEs in Florida, everybody's really scrambling. And thank goodness we're a little bit ahead of everybody else.
Okay, we'll go back to Greg Hunter.
Bob, I think I've asked you this before, but you didn't have an answer. Is there a threshold of minimum players you need to be able to compete in a game this year? Has the Big 12 announced that?
We've talked about it. I don't know that anything's been totally finalized yet, Greg. But yeah, we've talked about it. I think the general consensus of most guys is you can't start the game with less than 8. And being on a rules committee, I just found out that you can't finish the game with one player. You have to have more. Can't finish the game with one official. You have to have two.
Okay, we'll go to Michael, WMOV.
Coach, you guys were one of the best shot-blocking teams in the nation last year, and that's been a common trend throughout your tenure here. When you guys teach shot-blocking, what are some main principles fundamentally and strategically that you guys try to pound in?
Hit the ball, not the guy. I think that's the biggest one. You know, we want to – you know, actually what we really are trying to get them to do is control the ball a little bit better. You know, it's great to, I guess, to smack it off the wall and, you know, beat your chest and do what they do. But, I mean, the reality is it's a whole lot better if they can control it to where the ball ends up in our hands, gives us another possession. So that's really what we're trying to do. We're trying to get them to you know, instead of playing to the crowd, let's get another possession out of it. You know, and you talk to them about how many games could we have won if we'd had another possession or two.
Next, we'll go to Mike Casaza.
Hey, Bob, how's it going?
Michael, I haven't talked to you in a while.
You sound like you mean that. I appreciate it.
No, I haven't.
Good. I have a question about ball security, and it's sort of a football question. They have issues with drops and fumbles and things like that. Sports are different. I get that. But ball security is paramount. And you've gone through some exotic ways to reinforce that, like, you know, the pitch back and all that stuff. But how much of it's physical? How much of it's mental? And in your experience, what's enough and what's too much to reinforce that?
I'm not sure, Mike, there can be too much. I mean, we try to do it in different ways, you know, and we try not to overemphasize it. But, I mean, we do it a lot of ways. I mean, we've had the jugs gun, you know, in here before. we've done a lot of things to try to get guys, but you know, basically it comes down to see the ball into your hands. You know, it's I think the biggest thing is guys try to go before they have the ball, have possession of the ball.
Next, we'll go to Charles Montgomery.
Hey, Coach. So yesterday, the Big 12 preseason awards were announced, and Oscar is all Big 12 team, and Derek is a honorable mention. So is that something that you can kind of point to maybe in the season if Oscar's kind of playing off or Derek's playing off, that you can kind of point to him and say, well, look, you were given this honor or you're just given this recognition preseason, that it's kind of a motivating factor that you can use with them to kind of get them back out of their funk if they're ever in it?
I don't know that I've ever used anything like that to get them out of the funk. I think the easiest way to get them out of the funk is have them come over there, sit down, and help me coach for a little while. That generally lights a fire under them better than anything. That bench is a great motivator.
Greg Hunter.
Bob, understand that the NCAA is exploring the possibility that if one player on a team gets COVID, the entire team is down for 14 days. I don't know if that's true, but have you heard that, your reaction to it?
You know, Greg, there's a lot of things out there. We were told initially that a travel party of 30 to go to an MTE, and if one person, you know, if you had a manager there, for instance, and he tested positive, the whole party went home, and now thankfully that's gone away. You don't send 29 people home because one person was infected. I mean, obviously we're going to do everything to make sure that the other people are well, and anybody who's not obviously needs to leave. But and I think that's where that came from. That was, I think, initially an NCAA initiative, and I think they've backed off of that, and I think most people or all people have kind of backed off of that. That's not fair to anybody.
Kevin Kinder.
I don't see Hertz on here to ask the grooming question, so I'll pinch hit for him. Got rid of the summer goatee and the flowing locks. Anything particular in that decision? Were you tempted to keep it for the season?
I got tired of mess. Got mess about it. Mess is like having a second wife. You know, he just bitches and complains. And so I just figured I'd cut it off and get back to having just one person bitch at me instead of two.
I would say that's fake news, and we'll go to Mike Casado.
Tough one to follow. Hey, with no exhibition, no scrimmage, I'm assuming you still want to get ready for that first game, that first event. What do you do different to intensify or at least prepare that might be different than your ordinary course of action?
I don't know. You know, Mike, we've historically had a blue-gold game, which ends up into, you know, who can dunk it the hardest, I think. We're going to scrimmage with our guys, but it's hard because, I mean, everybody knows what the other guy wants to do. Everybody knows the sets. You know, everybody's well aware of what's going to happen before it happens. So, you know, that makes it tough, but I just don't understand. I don't understand if, you know, and I understand that we'd have to have testing protocol and so forth and so on, but I don't understand what happens from Majora, an exhibition hurts as long as it's done, you know, with the proper protocol.
Greg Hunter.
Bob, another NCAA rule is the one allowing all players basically to have this year as a red shirt. So your thoughts, do you like that rule that everybody comes back next year as whatever they are eligibility-wise this year?
Why didn't they do it for last year? Last year's when guys got robbed of a conference tournament, the ability to play in a conference tournament. Last year was the year when guys got robbed out of an NCAA tournament experience. They're going to be able to play in a conference tournament this year. They're going to be able to play in a in the NCAA tournament this year. I think it's a great idea. I think it's a year late.
We'll go to Carly from Channel 5.
Coach, the Big 12, one of the first conferences to give its players election day off, and then the NCAA kind of followed suit. Why do you think it was important for these guys to get next Tuesday off?
Well, they're hopefully the future leaders of our country. I mean, these are guys that people look up to, and I think that it's great that they have an opportunity to do the right things and learn the right things now. You know, our guys really honestly were looking forward to voting. They see the need, I think, for involvement from the I guess average person.
Greg.
Bob, what have you seen from Oscar? What did you ask him to improve on, and has he done so?
Well, I think the biggest thing he's done, he's worked on his shot. He's become a pretty consistent 15, 17 foot jump shooter, which is I think we really needed, because with him and Derek, they had a tendency to set back in there, and the one who was playing closer to the basket generally got double teamed because they really didn't pay much attention to either one of them making jump shots. I think that's changed. I think it's changed for both of them, but probably more for Oscar.
Okay, we'll go to Matthew Digby.
Coach, so last year Emmett got off to a really good start scoring the ball, and then he went through a stretch where he kind of went quiet, and you said it was because he cared about his teammates so much that he kind of took a step back. Have you seen a little bit more aggressiveness on the offensive end this year from Emmett, and do you think he'll take a step up offensively?
You know, I think it's going to be – it's really going to be offense by committee. There's going to be days when Derek's our leading scorer. There's going to be days when Deuce could be our leading scorer. There's going to be days when Emmett could be our leading scorer. There's going to be plenty of days, I think, when some of those guys coming off the bench could be our leading scorer. I think it just depends on what the other team's trying to take away and what we can take advantage of. And I don't think it matters to those guys. I mean, this is a very close team. They genuinely like each other. They genuinely care about each other. They hang out together in non-basketball situations. They enjoy each other's company. So I don't see where it makes any difference who scores, and I don't think that they really care as long as we win.
Michael?
Deuce last year really showed the ability to create his own offense at times, but maybe here and there looked a tad out of control certain games. How has his decision-making been so far?
Well, Deuce has gotten better and better. You know, you're talking about a guy who really missed a vast majority of his high school career because of the ankle. Deuce puts time in. I mean, Deuce is as most of our guys are, just about all of our guys are gym rats. So he'll continue to work on the things that he doesn't do well, and will continue to get better and better at them. And I think he will continue to get better at the things that he did good a year ago. And he's a smart kid. He's a smart kid. He's from an athletic family. Both mom and dad were both players at a high level in college. So, I mean, Deuce understands. Deuce understands as well as anybody.
Coach, I don't see any more raised hands up there, so I think that's it for today. Reminder.
I didn't see any to start with, Moss.
Pardon me?
I didn't see any raised hands to start with.
Well, we'll get you that screen next time. Oh, I see one from Greg Hunter.
Raise your hand, Greg.
There we go. So we talked about hair. Can you comment on Messerly's hair? Because I don't know if he's gotten a haircut, but the word is that his is longer than yours ever was.
No, it's not longer than mine was, and it's certainly not near as attractive as mine was. I mean, he's got the two-tone thing going on, you know?
And that was West Virginia coach Bob Huggins. Thanks for listening.